Good to see this number out tonight, and I know there's a lot of sickness going on and everything like that, but it sure is good to be here tonight. It's good to see those that's been able to make it, and let's do be in prayer for those that are sick. I know there's several, and I know it seems like it's taken a while to get through it. That's the hard part. Just like we're talking a minute ago, trying to get the turn the corner, and it seems like there's a lot of corners to try to get turned, but. But I'll ask that you pray for Brandy tonight. She's still at home sick. She's still got a fever, but Lord willing, still planning on the ladies' brunch on Saturday. She's real excited about that and looking forward to that. So ask that you pray for her. And I do appreciate your prayers for us. You can feel them, and I appreciate that. I feel a lot better. Finally got some medicine and everything. So I think I'm in a much better place now than I was even a week ago. So I'm thankful for that. And I did want to make mention of something here. Brother Robert brought to my attention, he had some tracts made up, and there's some that's still left here on the front pew. And anybody that's interested in some, please come by and get some. And I know that different people had asked me about maybe getting some tracts, and Brother Robert has done that, so just want to make everyone aware of that tonight. Really looking forward to this study, and this is something that I'd started, I guess, back around the first of the year, several months ago, kind of studying a little bit. And I would compare it to a body of water that gets deep very fast. Sometimes scripture is very straightforward, maybe, and you can kind of just take it for what it says. But then some other scriptures, when you really read it and study it and you meditate on it, it gets deep pretty quick. And So I was really praying after we finished up in the book of John, the three Johns there. I was really praying that the Lord show me what we as a church need, what would be good for us, what I need. And he led me to the book of Hebrews. And I asked for your prayers and in studying this here. But if you will, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, first chapter there. Only intend to go through first four verses here. Try not to be too lengthy. I think sometimes it's good to really get the point across and meditate on that part of it and focus on that and not be too lengthy, but that way we can really get the most out of it. The book of Hebrews is very interesting in that I'd only started to begin the study and not completed it, and so we'll go through it together. But in looking at it at the first, there's a few books in the Bible that we recognize and know are transitional books. You look at the book of Matthew, you think about the Gospels, they're transitional from Old Testament into the New. You think about the book of Acts, that's transitional. You see the different stages as the church was being built, being formed. The book of Hebrews and the book of James, that's four books there that you really kind of got to watch. And what I mean by that is make sure that you're in the right dispensation of what's being taught. Sometimes people, different, I guess, religions, faiths, what have you, religions would have a person believe that they could lose their salvation or things like that when they start reading in the wrong book, reading in the wrong dispensation. They'll get confused as to what that it's making reference to. The book of Matthew, again, you've got part of that into the law that was under the age of law. And then you have the cross, and then you transform over into the age of grace. And so you see that hinging. A book of Acts is notorious, I think, for different religions to have come out of the book of Acts thinking that's a doctrinal book when it's a transitional book, and they'll hold on to something that doesn't belong to this dispensation. One of the most valuable things that I did when I started pastoring, started in the book of Romans on Wednesday night, and went through the New Testament church epistles. And that is something that really helped me as far as what the New Testament church function is supposed to be, how we as a church in the New Testament is supposed to function. And you see a lot of, you go back and you see a lot of the foreshadowing that you had of the Old Testament. You can pull from that, but you see exactly what the function of the New Testament church is, and that's what's valuable. Now, when you get down to the book of Hebrews, and follow through with it, I believe a lot of this, you see by the title Hebrews, it's talking to the Jewish people, but I think a lot of it is actually even talking to them and expressing to them at the end times or in the time of tribulation. And it's talking about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And that's what people have to recognize. That's what makes him not an ordinary person, not an ordinary human. If we don't recognize him for who he is, we miss everything altogether. And see, that's what happened to the Jewish people. When they did not recognize him as the Christ, as their king, they missed everything. And that brought in the time of the Gentiles. And so you'll see in Matthew, you see the Old Testament going into the New Testament. In the book of Acts, you see it going from Peter into Paul. You see it going from Jew into Gentile, or from Israel into the Gentiles. And then Hebrews, you see something kind of changing here. You see it going from the Gentiles back to Israel. And you see, as these dispensations take place, it's important that we recognize that. You know, the time of grace was brought before the Jewish people because they denied their Christ. They denied their king. And we, as Gentile people, as emulation, really to make them jealous was to catch their eye, to bring their eye back to God. See, you and I, as Gentiles, we're Gentile dogs. We would be considered beneath the Jewish people. And so when the gospel came to us, that caught some of their attention. Like, how do they have this? This belongs to us. We're up here. They're down here. They're barbarians and Greeks. They don't believe anything, and we have the word of God. But they miss God altogether. And you see this time changing. You see how this period goes, the Gentiles back to the Jewish people, when you're talking about the tribulation period. And the book of James, I believe, will definitely talk to a lot. You'll see a lot of how it speaks to the Jewish people during the tribulation period. You know, you think about the dispensations. God has always had his prophets for us. In this age, he has his word. We got his word that we follow. But don't you know that during the tribulation period, his word will still be there? Those, the 144,000 proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the kingdom is at hand, it's still there. And so the beautiful thing about God's word is it's not just something in the past, and it's not just something in the future. It's for all time. But when we study it, we got to make sure that we're in the right time so we don't get our doctrine wrong and we don't miss it. And that's one of the things that I really want us to see here tonight. Although you can definitely see how it is talking to the Jewish people, you can see, like, let's imagine this here. We're transitioning it. We see the transition from the law into grace. Now you think about a transition from going from grace into the tribulation period and what is going to catch the attention of the Jewish people. We as the church, those that are redeemed, those that are saved, they're called out. Now, what you're going to have is a new way of life, or a new earth, really, or a new way of things, the way it's going to be, and it's going to be focused more so on the Jewish people. So they're going to need to be able to hear God's word. They're going to be able, they need to be able to hear and see it. So what I see, and the way I look at this in my mind to get it right for me, is let's say the church has already been called out, and a Jewish person is reading the book of Hebrews. What are they to gain from this? What are they to see? We hear the gospel of grace. They need to hear the gospel of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Those that didn't see him and recognize him as their king before, they absolutely need to recognize him as their king now. That is what we should pull from this. But we'll just go through these first four verses, go through this tonight, and then go to the Lord in prayer. We'll have a time of prayer after this. It says here, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What you're going to see in the book of Hebrews is how Jesus is better than everything. He's superior to everything. I know that we, with our Sunday school quarterlies and what have you, we've studied through the book of Hebrews before. And that's the main topic that you normally see, is how he is superior to everything. Now, when you think about a Jewish person, again, a lot of pride in the forefathers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You remember how they recall the fathers. So often you hear that. That's how they recalled him, and that's what our forefathers taught us. That's the traditions that were held. That was the law passed down to them, passed down from generation to generation. That's how they think, because that's their history. We have the history that we would have in our lives, United States maybe, or what have you, the Constitution, what we hold dear to us, what we would study and say, this is our Bill of Rights, this is what we go by, this is the law of the land. Well, see, that's how the Jewish people would look at the Old Testament. They would see that and they would know that. The important thing that they need to see, again, is who Jesus is. It's amazing to have all of this history, all of this information and doctrine in one book and miss it. But they have, and so much of the world today has too. It depends on what people are willing to put their confidence in, put their faith in, trust in. Where do you get your information from? What are you going to put your confidence in when you study? And we see in verse number 1, it says, God, who at sundry times, that means several times. If you go back in your mind into the Old Testament and you think about how the Lord dealt with people, there was no Bible for them to read. You had the law, or you had the Pentateuch, or the first books of the Bible there earlier on, but you didn't have God's full word like what we have today. God would talk to men. God would talk to prophets. He would explain to them. He would press on their hearts what he would want them to do. If you remember, think of a few examples, but if you think of Samuel and Saul, when Saul needed guidance, he went to Samuel. God would tell Samuel, this is what you need to pass on to Saul for him to do, to lead the nation of Israel. And so we see how that was passed on. That's how God chose to talk to people during that time. You see how he talked to Moses. You see how he talked to Abraham. He showed himself to Sarah and would explain to Sarah what was going to happen about the child of promise and how those things worked out. First time around, she didn't take him at his word. The second time, it happened. And so you see how mankind, even though God dealt with people in a different way at that time, we still respond a lot the same way today. When you read it, you say, that's God talking to you. What do you mean you're laughing? God promised you that. Well, God promises us stuff today, and we look at it, Brother Finley, sometimes like, yeah, but I don't know if he's going to do that. We kind of respond the same with human nature. But I love the way the book of Hebrews is just so straightforward. It's timeless. It tells us about the past. It tells us about the future. It's very chronological if you look at the canonized King James Bible. You can kind of see the stages from start to finish how this life is framed. We don't have exact dates. We don't have the little red dot that says you're right here. But it frames eternity for us. History of mankind and even God, it frames that for us. But God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners and different ways spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So when he wanted the fathers to know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, different people. We wanted people to know. He'd speak to the prophets. You remember in the book of Judges, just going through that, he would talk to the prophets and have the prophets tell Israel what to do. It was up to Israel to listen and be obedient or not. But that's how he chose to speak to people. But you know, the beautiful thing in this day and time, you don't have to wait for God to speak to a man, tell him something, Brother Bill, and speak to you. Every single person on this earth should have, and it's our goal as a missionary Baptist church is to get the word of God in every home, every hands that we can, is let people see it for themselves. That's the beautiful thing. It's not of any private interpretation. It's up to us. You can know and you can go as far with God as you want to go. I would probably tell you the biggest hindrance you have would be yourself and not being willing to go as far as you should or want to go with the Lord. I know the devil tries to hinder us, but as I was studying this, there is so much to know and there's so far for us to go, but we have to be willing to do it, and it's all by faith. Putting our faith in him and following him. We see in times of old and in different times, different manners, different ways. That's how he spoke to people in the past, were by the prophets, but hath in these last days. Now these last days, when I read that, I think, wow, we are in the last days. This is the last days right now. He has just now started talking to us in these last days. The last days have been going on for thousands of years. At least 2,000, let's put it that way. You think about these last days. They were talking about the last days in the book of Hebrews. Where are we at today? If that was the last day then, Brother Finley, where are we at today? How much closer are we today than what they were then? And they were in that same expectation, earnest expectation, as the Bible even says, waiting for his coming or his return. But hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we remember that the birth of Jesus as he grew. And he would go to the temple, and what would he do as a 12-year-old boy or young boy? He would teach them in the temple. See, that's how he started. That's when he started speaking. You see that time period. You see that dispensation. How he started talking to us. See, before, God talked to the prophets, and the prophets talked to the fathers. That's how it worked. But when he sent his only begotten Son to this earth, that's how he started talking to us. These last days, it's through his Son. It was before, I will urge upon someone's heart, I'll speak to them, maybe even audibly at that time, I'll press upon them hearts, the burning bush, different signs, different things like that. Well, today, it's by his Son. And his Son is the Word of God. That's what we see him as today. But during that time on this earth, he was physically here, walking this, talking this, and living this. You think about what God has done for us. He put himself on this earth to walk it before so we could physically see it. That's an amazing thing. Verse 3 has so much in it. We'll get to that. It says, again, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. So we see the last days, an heir. That's one who inherits or takes from an ancestor. We know what an heir is. That's the way, again, if you look at Jewish law, the older son would be the one who would inherit everything. So when you read this, when a Jewish person would read this, it makes sense. That's their tradition. That's what they're used to. So, okay, we have a father. The father gives everything to the son, and now the son has priority of everything. And see, that makes sense. That would make sense to a person that grew up with that tradition and learning things that way. He's appointed everything. Now, when you look at it, you go back to the book of John, and it was, and you probably have this memorized, but I want to read it. But it's hard not to read these verses and think about the book of John, the Gospel of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you see, the Lord, Jesus, was there at the foundation. It says here, again, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. See, Jesus was always here. He was always a part of this plan. That's one thing to realize and understand about God, is he doesn't start out with something and change midway and say, oh, that ain't going to work. I didn't realize that. That's not going to work. He don't operate like we do. We start out on a plan sometime or we're going to a project or something, and we might have, even if we tried to really look things over and figure things out and thought we had everything in place, we could overlook something. God overlooks nothing. He's thought of everything. He has everything you need. There's nothing lacking. There's always an abundance of what you need with the Lord. It's always there. He chose to do this through Jesus. Now, as I study this, looking at it, just going day by day, it's just like, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Who doesn't want to know more about Jesus? I mean, think about it. Do you know everything about the Lord? People say, no, but I know enough. Me and Miss Jan were talking this morning. I was messaging a little bit this morning, talking about the personality of God. You know, I do believe the Lord has a sense of humor. As we study his word, we see more and more about the personality of God. And I want to know more. I mean, don't you? I mean, that excites me when you look at it that way and you think about, I can know more about him. He's made it that way. Because he put his Son here on this earth that we could physically see it. That's something that we should not take for granted. Look at this here, verse number 3, several things here. Again, we're talking about his Son. So when it says who, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his Son. Who being the brightness of his glory. Now, I looked up the word brightness. I wanted to know what he means by this. Who is Jesus to God? How does God look at Jesus? It's his only begotten son, but look how he's described here. Who is the brightness? Who being the brightness of his glory? Brightness, that means splendor or acuteness. And acuteness is applied to the senses or understanding. This is what allows you and I to experience God. We watch movies, things like that, but how many of you really know what a spirit looks like? That's something that we'd have to use our imagination for. We'd have to say, well, I've seen it portrayed like this in a movie, and maybe like this in another movie, or I've read in a book, and I think it would kind of look like this. Well, see, that's not what God did with Jesus. God wrapped Jesus in flesh, and we can see him. The people that when he walked on this earth, they could physically see him. It left nothing to wonder. When you see in this here, it's talking about his express, or it says, who being the brightness of his glory. Brightness, again, that splendor. The understanding, when I see brightness, again, it's talking about the brightness of his glory. Put it this way. Glory. That's brightness, luster, splendor, magnificence. So when I look at those things, he's talking about the brightest of the bright. Have you ever looked at anything in the light, Brother Mike, and it just caught your eye? Something really, it splendors. It has a luster. It's if you're looking at something, it's like the dog. You know, you've heard the dog that's like squirrel or shiny. Something catches the eye. Well, see, that's what Jesus was here to do. He was the brightness. He was the luster of his brightness. He was the brightness of his brightness, the luster of his luster. God put Jesus on this earth to catch our eye, to catch our heart, so we wouldn't miss him, so we would see him. You see something shiny, when it twinkles, that catches your eye. You stop and you look back and say, look at that, a diamond. You look at a rainbow, you look at these things that has a splendor, it catches your eye. This is how the Bible, this is how Paul here, I believe he's the author, is using this to explain how God looks at Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That word express means to represent or show by imitation. So if we cannot see spirit, we can't see into the spirit world, we need to see something physically. And so what God did for us, he gave us Jesus and made him the express image of himself. I'm going to make it to where man can see who God is in the flesh so they can see it. I don't say fully understand it, but they can see him. He's going to walk with them. He's going to talk with them. He's going to show them how to live. He's going to show them how to act. He's going to be my son. He's going to be the word so they can see it. It's not something that they have to just try to figure out in their mind, but they're going to see it. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the exact imitation, the exact person, the exact personality of God. The more we learn about Jesus, the more we're going to know about God. That's his personality. And he says here, upholding all things. That means to continue without fail. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Find it interesting when you think about power. I think people, mankind, has it in their minds that they can build things, powerful things, and do things, and they credit themselves for it. The Titanic, you know, nobody could sink the Titanic. Well, it did. You think about these big, massive things that you see that are built, and man has been able to do a lot of things, but did you know there's absolutely no power outside of God? None. No power. We may think we have things, but we're not. Romans 13, 1 and 2, wanted to read this. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. A lot of times people put faith in men and faith in what they perceive as ability. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible's proclaiming to us here, there is no power outside of God. If you want power, you have to know God if you want real power. Let every soul be subject, that means brought into subjection to, unto the higher powers, for there's no power but that of God, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. All the power that you see comes from him. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. If we're not following God and following His power, we're going to receive damnation. That's, if you want power, that's where it comes from. And so you're talking about the frame, how this world was framed together and held together. It's by the power of His word. We also see, in talking about this here, no man, in John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. No man has seen the Spirit of God. They've seen Jesus. And that's what the Lord has given to us, for us to be able to see that. Read this again. For who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus by Himself, there's nothing else. Had a message prepared for Sunday comparing the cross to baptism. Baptism catches a lot of people's eyes. I have a lot of people ask me if they will baptize them. I want to know about their salvation. I want to know their testimony before we do anything like that. People miss that. I've had people come to me and they say, you know, I've not been baptized, or I'd like to be rebaptized. I believe salvation is through baptism. And you got to start from the beginning. That's not what it's about. And explaining who that is. When you're talking about the cross and the importance of the cross, that does not have anything to do with baptism. Outside of baptism is an illustration of what physically happens on the inside. And it says here, when He had by Himself purged our sins, Jesus did that alone. That cup He was praying about was His cup and His cup alone. Let this cup pass from me. He was the only one that could do that for you and I. And when He hath by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see this being also mentioned. I was going to read this here in Colossians 1:15. Had a few places to turn. I don't want to miss these places to explain who Jesus is. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. It said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And talking about the Lord, and I say this a lot, and it helps me to keep my focus point on who Jesus is when I say it's all for Him. This life truly is all for Him. That's what this is about. If we don't live our lives that way, we're missing it. You say, Jason, we're not perfect, we fail, and that's true. But if you want to get back to who Jesus is, you have to realize everything is about Him and it's all for Him. Everything we do in our lives, how we live our lives, God gave that to us. It's the power He gave to us to have a life. But do we appreciate Him and think about it that way with Him or for Him? But Jesus by Himself, He done everything He could for us to give us life eternal. Everything. See verse number 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I'll close with this. It's about time to pray. I'll close with this. But He's better than the angels. We see how He's better than the prophets. We'll start by seeing how He's compared to the angels. And we've never seen an angel. If we have, we wouldn't know it. I know the Bible talks about being entertained by angels unaware, but again, I believe probably wrapped in this flesh, and we probably wouldn't recognize it or see it maybe as that. But if you see angels represented in the Bible, you see how people responded to them. Most of the time, it was by fear. Other times, it was by how beautiful they are. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that's a bad account, but you remember what those men did when they saw those angels. Bring them out. Bring them out. You remember also in the New Testament when angels appeared to people or different times when angels appeared, people would fall down and start worshiping those angels. It's a beautiful creature. It's a creation that God has made, and we can't see that and understand that in this physical life. But He's comparing Him here briefly, and you'll see more in the next The next section, but he's comparing the Lord to the angels, who being made much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So how is that? So I actually kind of wrote this out so I could have it in my mind. I think this would be good if you're trying to witness to somebody. You're talking to your children about it, explaining who God is, explaining who Jesus is. And this is how I would explain it and show it here. God, you had God in heaven. He looks down. Remember how he spoke to the Old Testament patriarchs? He's in heaven. He's talking to the prophets, telling the prophets what to do. But God chose to place Jesus here in the flesh. All God and all man, but it's Jesus in the flesh. So you had God in heaven, and God, through the conception of the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, he conceived Jesus in the flesh to walk among men. He's born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he lived a sinless life. You think about who God is and where he was at and how much he loved his creation. How much he loved us. He said, I love these people so much that I have to show them how much I love them, and I have to show them. God was willing to wrap himself in this to get to us. Now, I know we've talked a lot about sickness right now and different things like that, but you know, there's really nothing good about the flesh. I thought about this a lot today. You think about the spiritual life, what we wait for, the earnest expectation of what we have is to be called into heaven and to escape this flesh, is it not? The aches, the pains. I hear as you get older, it goes away. You don't have aches and pains when you get older, right? It gets easier, doesn't it? Why is everybody laughing? It gets easier, right? Well, what's one of the biggest things that holds us back? Our flesh. That's probably what hurts us most, our flesh. Illness, sickness, age, aches, pains, different things like that. If we were a spirit, we wouldn't have that, right? We have a new body that doesn't have those aches and pains. But God says, I want to reach those people so bad, I'm willing to put that on. We're talking about the Creator. God who says, I love these people, my creation, enough that, yes, they have a choice to accept me or not, but I want to do everything I can to reach them. I'm going to put myself in the body that they're in, and I'm going to show them how much I love them. That's who Jesus is. When you see God in heaven that we can't reach, he said, I will come down and I'll make a way that I can reach them. He did that through Jesus. He lived that sinless life. That sinless life was for you and me. Without that sinless life, we have no sacrifice. We have no remission of sin. Without sinless life, how important that is, you know what's even as much as important as that? The cross. God could have just taken Jesus. It's not that just Jesus had to die. His blood had to be shed. That time, and that time of life, during that time that he chose for Jesus to walk this earth, that death was the death of the cross. That's how people died. That's where the bloodshed came from. Without remission of sins, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You think about the aches and pains that Jesus did for you and I. That was his full goal. That was his full mission. Seeing who he is, what he did, made himself lower. You think about the angels, not encapsulated in a body of flesh. Jesus came down. God came down in the body of Jesus, in his flesh, to do this. To be a perfect sacrifice for you and I. He died. He arose, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. And he's better than the angels by inheritance. See, the angels, where they don't have the aches and pains that you and I would have, but you imagine the place where they're at, Brother Norman. They're watching all this unfold. They're watching all of this happen. And they inquire about what salvation is. We'll probably get to that later. But you see the difference. See the difference of what an angel was, how the Lord brought himself to a low estate, wrapped himself in this flesh, that he could reach us, that he could save us. I want to read just a little bit here in Romans, and I'll close tonight. But Romans chapter number 8, verses 16 and 17. You see what the Lord has done for us, but you see how it ties us in together here with him, how he interacts with us, who Jesus is to you and I. Now you imagine a Jewish person in the tribulation period reading this, seeing this, this being preached to them. Verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together." You see, that's who part of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Not that he would just have it, but that he would share that with you and I. Willing to go through all that length, all that, Brother Nathan, just so he could share that with you and I. Now, when I read that, there's something in my heart that says, I want to know him more. I want to be as close to him as I can be now. You see, this is the time of trial. This is the hardship for us. If we want to show the world who Jesus is, then we need to walk like him and act like him and do what he needs to live through us. We don't need to be absorbed in our own lives and things that are going on. Maybe we need to focus on the big picture and why we are here. He created you for a purpose. And this is his purpose, to have fellowship with you and I. You think about the people who don't have fellowship with him. I want more of it. Praying for revival, praying for the church this week, today and this week, and just trying to prepare for this and thinking about it. Church, the Lord has a lot left for us before we get out of here. And if a lot of people don't have their hearts and minds in tune with God, I want mine to be. I want to get as much of him before he gets here as I can. I don't want to miss out on anything. I don't want to lose anything. You think about what it's going to be like when you see him, when you get to heaven. You think about it, thinking about the song that was sang tonight about judgment. The judgment day is coming. Are you ready? That's a good question. You know, I think a lot of times people are kind of just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, as they say, just trying to get by. But there's more to life than that. I want a fulfilled life with the Lord. I want to see how far I can go with him here and then rejoice with him when I get there. I mean, this is the time of trial. But you see here how he's better, beginning to see how he's better than the angels, but he's better than the prophets. Jesus himself came here to teach us and to show us that we'd have a better example to follow. I appreciate your good attention tonight. I'll stop right there. And there's so much more to cover and go through, and I do desire your prayers as we study. And I just pray that it helps us to grow closer to the Lord, helps us to want to study more, want to know more. I just want to know more about the Lord. I just want to learn more about his personality and see more about him. But appreciate your good attention tonight, and we will have a time of prayer. I'll ask if there's any special objects tonight.
Preacher Jason, remember Rodney? He thought he was getting better yesterday.